Man Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. How are we doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, getting into the Christmas spirit, I see here. We got all the decorations up here.
Yeah, that's right. We got all the decorations. All the tree is up here in the studio.
Yeah.
Got some garland over the fireplace.
Looking good. Looking sharp.
Had the lights all strung up outside.
Yeah. Doing good.
It literally feels like Christmas a little bit around here.
Yeah.
The temperature certainly feels like Christmas, especially.
Yeah. It's freezing.
Compared to where I was at the end of last week, it was a big differentiation point.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, though, where are you at with shopping?
Ooh. It's a good thing my wife doesn't listen to this.
It kind of hit me today that I was like, ooh, I need to get on that.
Yeah, I definitely need to get on that a bit myself.
It kind of like it just dawned on me like this month is half over.
The office almost. Is closing. Like, the office is closing between Christmas and New Year's for me, and mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's a big break. That'll be right at the end of the year. I can do shopping then. Until I remember that literally started like the day before Christmas.
Right.
Not enough time to actually do your shopping.
No. And day before Christmas is Saturday, so you. Office would have been closed anyways.
Oh, crap. Yeah, that's a really good point. So all that said, I'm not very far into it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm a little worried.
I'm not going to lie. A lot of my family is going to be getting FC Cincinnati stuff for Christmas this year.
Yeah?
Just throwing it out there.
Using that friends and family discount there?
Yeah, it's kind of a nice little perk to to being an employee. And, you know, you got to kit your family out a little bit.
There you go. So, that's good.
Yeah. Speaking of kits, your Dayton Dynamo just launched their new kit.
We did. We had a nice launch of our kit and the unveiling that we will be joining the ranks of all the cool soccer teams in American soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have our own beers.
Yeah, not just one.
Yeah, two. So the Dayton Beer Company is going to be making two beers for us. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an IPA and then a lager. The Gem City Squadron Lager, so a beer named after our supporters group.
Which is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, they were pretty excited about it.
They were. Are most of those members even old enough to drink that beer yet?
I think so now, actually.
Yeah, they're all in college, so
there was a lot of college really age guys, yeah.
A whole lot of a difference to that. So, well, congrats to you guys. That is pretty cool. Looking forward to popping those open while we're recording one of these sometime
soon.
Yeah,
I'll have to bring some once they are... brewed up for us.
Available for the market. Well, before we get into the rest of soccer happenings and not boring everyone else with our lack of Christmas shopping, we should probably do fantasy, which is probably equally as boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quickly, I was in the store the other mm-hmm. day looking for a clothing item that my wife had asked for.
Okay.
And I asked a sales associate to help me.
Okay.
I don't know if this – I mean, it's just the sign of the times we're in. She asked me, this is in the women's clothing section, I asked her about a specific clothing item,
mm-hmm.
and she said, are you shopping for yourself, or is this for somebody?
And did she hear you clearly? Not enunciate very well?
I was pretty clear of like that I was looking for a certain thing that was definitely a top for a woman.
Mm-hmm. A blouse
in,
of some
yeah,
sort.
Yeah, in the women's section.
Yeah.
Just want to know.
Interesting.
If I had planned to wear it.
And you're obviously an advocate of asking for help, but did you look for like 20 minutes on your own beforehand?
Probably 30.
Yeah. Yeah. No man immediately asks for help. I can find this on my own. It's probably the downfall of every man's shopping trip.
Well, yeah. And then you get found out because, I mean, you just look. You just wander around like a lost dog.
Is this, especially when you like walk back by the same spot several times where someone's actually shopping, usually a woman.
Yeah.
And they've now noticed you by a couple times.
Have you ever had it so bad to where women shopping in the store just go, hey, you look like you need some help?
Yes. Yes, I have. It's the beauty of being a confused man.
Yeah.
Some woman will eventually feel sorry for you and offer up her assistance.
So did my confusion carry over into fantasy?
No. For you, it actually went pretty well.
Oh,
an improvement of 7 places.
I mean, you saw what I did, though, right?
Yeah, you made changes.
I used that wild card.
That's right.
I changed that literally my entire team.
It did everything for you. It moved you up. So, up to 61st.
Massive.
7 places up. I neglected to update my team and fell 11 places to 80th. So, opening back up that gap
a little bit. Lukaku. So, that was helpful.
Good move.
Yeah.
Good move on that front. Genius FC, James Thomas, still on top 5 weeks in a row. It's got about a 30-point gap still over Jay Slack, leading up at the top of the table.
All right, let's get to the actual soccer. Mm-hmm. And we have to start with Champions of England 4, Pep Guardiola 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so given how Leicester played this year, this was a completely unexpected result. Like, I don't think anyone was expecting them to get a result whatsoever.
Yeah, they've been garbage all year. Mm-hmm. They, while they had already qualified, like City, they had to play midweek. Mm-hmm. Obviously, City has a little more depth to handle that.
That they do.
Now, okay, granted, we talked about this last week. City was missing 3 key players for this match.
Yeah.
No Aguero, he'll miss 3 more matches after mm-hmm. this one. Fernandinho will miss another 2 after this.
Yep.
And then Otamendi had a yellow card accumulation.
Suspension, yeah. So those are 3 really big pieces of the equation that weren't there for them. And surprisingly, even though Aguero is a guy that you think of as this big offensive threat, he does provide a fair amount of pressure up top as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all guys right through the spine of your team that are a big portion of the possession that you're playing, a big portion of the defense you're playing, and suddenly they're gone. And I can't remember who I heard make this point, but it's a brilliant point about Manchester City and the way that Guardiola plays with all of his teams. He doesn't actually like to defend. Like, his defense is possession of the ball and quickly winning it back.
Right.
But if you find a way to counter against that system, you find a hole, maybe there are some pieces that aren't normally there, that aren't necessarily as fine-tuned as the preferred options, you can find a way to beat this team.
Well, and I think this kind of showed, and we'll get to it when we talk about Chelsea and Antonio Conte and what he's doing in his freshman year in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Pep didn't seem to have a plan B.
No. And now that plan A has failed,
like, there was no adjustment. Really. Yeah. I didn't see a huge adjustment of, like, okay, we're getting got right here. Like, they're getting behind us. They're, you know, Jamie Vardy's looking vintage. And by vintage, I mean last year.
Yeah.
It
did feel a little bit like we were in a time machine.
It was. I mean, it felt like watching them last year. You had Mahrez and Vardy just running roughshod all over the joint.
What was crazy, this was only like the 7th or 8th pass of the season between Mahrez and Vardy.
That's insane.
And one of them was an absolutely bat shit crazy first touch assist from Mahrez. A ball looped out of the back, a long ball over top, and Mahrez just perfectly touched it over his shoulder right into the onrushing Vardy in behind, and he rounds Bravo for I think what was the 2nd goal. But City just, they're absolutely gutted in this match, and I don't want to take anything away from Leicester. Leicester were fantastic in their own right, but it really did feel a lot like a City failing as opposed to like Leicester finally finding their feet. But it was obviously a bit of both, given that Leicester haven't really had that type of result all year.
Yeah, so you mentioned that Leicester's not been playing well. I mean, mm-hmm. even you can't even look at this as like, oh, yeah, well, they finally started playing some good soccer. Look at them in the past couple weeks. They were stinking the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Is this match going to be that one that kind of helps them turn the tide?
I do think that they're kind of in this like little rut right now, right? Yeah. Like, they're coming down off the high. Everyone's kind of like not feeling the pressure to try as hard. They've already achieved something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all kind of like shaking that rust off right now. And maybe this is the result that kind of, I don't know that they're going to like end up challenging for European places or anything like that again.
Sure.
But maybe this is going to be enough to like resuscitate the season a little bit
and so they can
arrest the slide and hopefully not, you know, get relegated the season after.
Yeah. Maybe finish a like respectably in like the, you know, top half of the table. They're up to 14th now.
Mid table would be comfortable, I think. Well, even.
So they're well on their way to doing that. City, mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of just mentioned the whole thing with Pep and you know, not really having tactically a real plan B to turn things there in this match. They're kind of in a bit of a skid in a way. I mean, there's 2 losses in a row now for them. What is this telling us about this side and about Pep?
So I asked this of Twitter.
Uh-huh.
This week, and Twitter is not necessarily the best arbiter of what's actually going on, but there are a couple different scenarios that are floating around out there. Like, is Guardiola as good as he you know, has been perceived to be. Is he proving the league?
Yeah, that's right. You ran a poll on this, right?
Yeah, I did. So, and, you know, I the options that I listed, proving Premier League is the hardest league, proving that Guardiola is overrated, proving that Guardiola is in need of time. And nearly 60 people voted for this. And the breakdown was actually really close. 38% to hardest league in the world was the winner. Proving to be overrated was 30%. And in need of time was 32%. Like, it's a pretty even consensus across three, you know, fairly innocuous answers. But I think it shows that I don't know that anyone knows exactly what to make of this right now. In my opinion, I think it is a sign that this is a very difficult league. And it kind of, like, tactics are a big portion of it, but there are some, like, intangibles about English soccer that almost have to be there in order for it to work. And I saw somewhere that I think City have only had one clean sheet in their last 17 matches. Like, that's not how you win in England.
No.
You need a stout defense to do it, and that's not necessarily one that's that stout.
Moving on to the two teams at the top that are rolling, Arsenal and Chelsea, both getting wins on the weekend. And we'll start at the top of the table. Chelsea 1, West Brom 0.
Took a little minute.
It took a little more than a minute. Chelsea passed the ball 300 more times than West Brom did.
300 more times.
Yes.
That, speaking of sides that sound like something Guardiola should be coaching, that sounds like a Guardiola team stat right there.
Yeah. 300 more passes than your opponent.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, Pulis implemented
Pulis ball?
Yeah, Pulis ball.
Just sit in your bus right in front of your goal mouth and doing whatever you can to scrap your way through it, but Chelsea ultimately get their breakthrough and the man of the moment.
Yeah. Diogo Costa scores his 12th on the season.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it, though. Kind of had to switch things up. They move to get this goal. They bring on they make a change and move to like a 4-3-3.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing on Cesc Fabregas, taking off Moses.
Yeah. Moses, who's kind of been more that wide guy that they kind of been slinging, allows them to control the midfield a little bit more through that space. And I think this shows kind of counter to what we saw with Guardiola is the ability to change up the formation when things aren't working very well for you. And Pulis had clearly set up to defend that 4, you know, the 3-4-3 that Chelsea had been playing of late. And that switch was enough to actually unlock things.
And so, yeah, Costa gets the goal 2 minutes later. So they make that change, to that formation change, and 2 minutes later – they score that goal.
Yeah.
Chelsea have pretty easy run here until like until early parts of January, I think, is their next like legit opponent.
So let's get a temp check.
Temp check? Feeling good. I mean, we're only 3 points ahead of Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. I never went into the season expecting us to win the league anyways.
Yeah.
So it's all bonus.
So if you do, you'll be pretty – pretty pleased with
the
situation.
Yeah, it'll be neat.
Speaking of that other side, Arsenal end up getting a 3-1 win over Stoke. Stoke jumped out to an early lead, courtesy of a Xhaka penalty, and everyone from Arsenal's corner of the world seemed to be inflamed about this. This is a guy that has a reputation for clattering clumsy tackles, and he kind of clumsily bumped into someone in the box and it was taken advantage of. So Charlie Adam always there to ruin your day, giving Stoke that early lead, but quickly rebounding Arsenal through Walcott, Ozil, and Iwobi. Kind of a comprehensive performance from Arsenal. They dominated the match. It wasn't really all that surprising that they rolled out to victory.
Arsenal, though, I mean, as much as we talk about Chelsea, credit to them. They are playing extremely solid football right now.
Yeah.
They're offensively taking it to their opponents.
Yeah. Everyone seems to feel pretty confident, even given their Champions League draw today. They drew Bayern, which is just amazing. We talked earlier. I mean, you can tell from the giggling that Jeremy's unleashing here. It's something that he really enjoyed. But there are Arsenal fans that are saying, like, oh, Bayern are kind of in disarray at the moment. We're in, you know, great form. What makes that a really funny statement is that, yeah, the draw happened today, but they don't actually play each other until February.
Yeah, they got some time.
Think that's normally around the time where Arsenal start falling off the tracks a little.
Yeah, and Myron will be fresh because they'll have their little winter break that they get.
Funny how things tend to work out.
All right, let's whip around the EPL. Dateline. Maybe that Roberto Martinez guy was not the issue.
Yeah.
Watford 3, Everton 2.
Yeah. The story in this match is going to be Okaka from Watford getting a brace. The first of which, the goal, the little flicked on goal he had, that was just a work of art.
That was, I was already heading towards the shower.
Yeah.
And then it had to be a cold shower after that.
Yeah, because it was hot.
It was hot.
But while Okaka's going to get the headlines, he did have a header as well. Troy Deeney deserves massive amounts of praise. I used to be a bit of a doubter with Deeney, but he really does a lot of the little stuff to set things up. He may not always be the man on the score sheet, but he just really worked to make this match work out in Watford's favor. I was extremely impressed with his performance.
Is he still inviting? You wonder if he's still inviting his friends from when he was in jail. Remember that last story last year? In the director's
box? Oh, yeah.
He brought his like... roomies from the pen.
Yeah, he was either like injured or suspended, and like he was sitting up in the box, and he brought like two dudes that he was in the pen with, like his, I don't know if his cellmates or whatever it was. But Lukaku also getting a double in this game. You mentioned him earlier. You were wise enough to make him your captain. Excellent move on your part.
It was actually a mistake. I meant to captain Harry Kane, and I'm really glad I didn't. Yeah, that
worked out well. That worked out really well in your favor.
And let's go there. Dateline, your team lost.
Yeah. Harry Kane apparently only able to contribute when there are penalties to be scored. Apparently. It feels like. I feel bad saying that, but it felt that way. Spurs, that was the first game I've seen Spurs play in a while where they played like poorly. Even against Chelsea when we lost to you guys a couple weeks ago, we didn't look bad.
No, I mean, we dominated that entire first half.
Yeah. So this match, Spurs really didn't look good at all. Really struggling up top to create much. I feel like they're going to need to be active in the transfer window in January if they're really going to get anything out of the season at this point, because let's be honest, competition for the top four is awfully tight right now.
This is a win for United that they kind of needed. I mean, this is a good win for them.
Mm-hmm. Mkhitaryan finally shaking off the rust. The narrative going into this match was like, oh, he's finally coming into form.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he answers the critics and fires scored
a missile.
Brilliant goal.
Yeah. yeah, I mean...
And a big win for them, too, to keep themselves in the hunt for the Champions League places.
You know, Pogba had a decent match. Zlatan was kind of just there.
Yeah.
He wasn't really a huge factor in this one.
Pogba, I think, did a brilliant job in midfield and completely shut down Dembele, who's been one of Spurs' best players all season long. But yeah, United, you know, now finally back in this hunt. There's a lot of talk about how Mourinho finally has kind of found his best team. He's got a system that's working a little bit, and they're slowly maybe eking their way into form. I don't know if this is like the same as the Leicester situation. Are they actually finding their feet, or is this just a false hope?
We shall find out. Liverpool 2, West Ham 2.
Maybe another team getting found out.
Yeah, it was West Ham scoring two goals, about 8 minutes from each other, to take a 2-1 lead after Adam Lallana scored in the fifth minute.
Yeah.
Then pretty much right out of halftime, Origi.
Yeah,
gets on the score sheet again. He's been playing very well for them.
Yeah, not necessarily a pretty goal. It was, in fact, kind of an ugly goal, but again, finding himself in the right place.
Yeah.
It's something you can't teach.
I guess the big storyline coming out of this is the Liverpool goalkeeper situation is once again a very controversial one.
Yeah, I mean, Karius has really struggled of late. He's not had a couple good performances in a row. And then just keeps getting in these like verbal arguments with everyone from Match of the Day. Like Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville in particular. It's like, dude, just seriously shut up. Like you're digging your hole every time you open your mouth, and then you.
Make I mean, he's a young hothead kind of.
Their goalkeepers are known for that. Fiery. Maybe a little Jens Lehmann in him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny that you. All, this is a side that has Mingele just
in reserve. Hanging out. Not necessarily a plan for him.
We talk about Origi. Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about Karius. the two guys that they are filling spots for, Mingele, and you got to look at a guy like Daniel Sturridge, who can't stay healthy. Are those guys on their way out?
Well, I mean, Origi's like proving himself to be useful at bare minimum. You know, yeah. He's scoring goals when he's getting his opportunities. But a guy like Daniel Sturridge, I think that is a place where they have to improve. You know, when he's fit most of the time, he's a pretty damn effective player. But the problem is he's rarely fit. And when he does get fit, he's, you know, healthy for a game. He does contribute, but then he, you know, comes back and needs another few weeks out. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if they try to improve upon that, his position in January.
Bob Bradley gets a win.
Yeah, big win.
Big win for him. His second since taking over for Swansea City.
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0 win over Sunderland, a Sunderland side that is still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are really concerned about what they're going to do. You have African Cup of Nations starting here soon that could strip them of some of the few decent players they have.
Yeah. And a huge win from the Swansea standpoint. Sunderland, obviously a direct relegation candidate, rival as well. So getting a shutout, you know, they had a pretty nasty goal differential. I think it was minus 18 before the match, maybe minus 15 now. Maybe
minus 12 now.
So minus 15, then minus 12. So those type of things are enormous come into the season. It's literally usually a goal or two that separates those type of positions. So really, really big win for Bob and hopefully gives him a little bit more time and a little bit more trust from the front office.
Yeah, up to 18th place, 1 point away from safety at the moment. Burnley getting another win.
Mm-hmm.
Burnley beating Bournemouth 3-2. Bournemouth fresh off their come-from-behind win against Liverpool. Dropped this one. Burnley looking pretty good.
Yeah. Two goals in the opening 16 minutes for them, one of which was a peach of a goal from Jeff Hendrick, a nice volley. And then I think it was like 3 minutes later, they ended up adding that next. Bournemouth did get each of their goals in stoppage time of each half, but not quite enough.
Nope.
Need to actually work a little bit outside those two periods.
Crystal Palace, once again, not finding the W as they had to claw their way back into this one just to get a 3-3 draw. They actually had a 2-1 lead in this one in the 70th minute.
Yeah, Fraser Campbell rescuing a point for the Eagles. The controversy in this match was Snodgrass for Hull had picked up a yellow early in the match and then had a clear-as-day dive that ended up getting called for a penalty for Hull. And even stepped up to take it after diving. So everyone was a little cranky about
that.
And
he's got a tramp stamp.
Yeah, and there's that going on, so, which is weird.
That's basically walking on the field with a yellow card.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
And then final match on Sunday, Southampton getting the 1-0 win over Middlesbrough. Yeah, we got midweek action.
Yeah.
Our first big taste in midweek action this season.
It starts.
Yeah,
it starts
when
the December period has now officially begun when we get into just cramming matches anywhere you feel like we should have some.
I mean, this – you want to talk about – we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. It's starting to feel like Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Midweek Premier League has a Christmas holiday time feel
to
it.
It really does.
Looking
forward to it. It's almost as good as Boxing Day.
Yeah, we'll get two matches on Tuesday and then a whole grip of games on Wednesday.
Look forward to it.
And there is I guess you got Everton Arsenal Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's like the only decent match.
And shouldn't be too bad.
But, you know, you're getting soccer on the midweek, so
yeah,
just
no
take
complaints.
What you
fit. Just means that we really struggle to fit it all into next week's podcast.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because we get the full weekend slate. Luckily, though, I'm not seeing any actual legitimate games on. Oh yeah, ooh, you have. I forgot. You have Merseyside Derby is next Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so we have that going for us.
There's plenty to look forward to. So now that England is wrapped up, let's move our way over to this side of the pond.
It was MLS Cup. We had a chance to talk last week with Taylor Twillman about it, gearing up for it. Made the big jump to Big Fox.
Yeah, it was on network television for the first time since like 2008, 2003, somewhere like
2007 or something.
Yeah, whatever.
7 or 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So big news there. Fox went in all in on this too. Like they had a preview show the night before. It then played continuously on Fox Soccer Plus until I think kickoff. It felt like
Didn't have any replays of the Scottish Premier League. Yeah,
there were actually I think some live games in the morning. I'm being a little facetious, but it was on like I think 9 times in a row that evening. But Fox, credit to them, like they wanted to make this a bit of a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it was that huge of a thing ratings-wise. I think it scored like a 1.0 overnight or something like that.
Yeah, 1.0 overnight. Looks to be probably a 1.4 is what's expected to be the overall rating that'll come out on Tuesday.
It's not terrible.
That's what TSN broadcast got, a 1.4. I mean, that's decent.
Yeah.
It's
improvement.
Well, it's improvement considering the last couple years had really bad ratings.
Yeah. This too, this is a big thing. I think you talk about this all the time. Yes. They held it at a time that was convenient
for
people.
They finally found a time, and this is – I think we've been shouting about this since we first started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
The past couple years, they had either put it on opposite of Sunday NFL or Saturday like
– bowl championship games or something.
Yeah, they put it against – yeah, like conference championship games. Like,
yeah.
You know, SAC championship or like the Big Ten championship game.
This time, it was literally like the only big thing on this weekend.
Yeah, you had Army Navy, and that was like the lead in.
Yeah. So, credit to MLS. I think that's a slot that they need to be aiming for like every single year and playing the rest of the schedule around weekend. It. Like, it doesn't matter what it is,
it exists somewhere in that December. Early half of December.
Mm-hmm.
Find it and mark it down and build out your calendar from there.
Yeah. As for the actual match itself, taking place in a frosty, sold-out BMO field.
So did you get to watch this live?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did. I was concerned that I was not going to be able to watch it live.
Why is that?
I was at my in-law's house.
Oh, yes. Soccer's a no-no there a lot of times.
I believe I tweeted out that asking to turn on soccer at my in-law's house would be like saying, hey, y'all don't mind if I turn some pornography on, do you?
Yeah. It's that uncomfortable. So did you watch this on your phone?
Luckily, we got home in time.
It's brilliant.
Kids started melting down around 7. I was like, ooh, yes.
Yeah.
We are out of here.
Need to get these things into bed.
We got to go.
Yeah. Took place, though, in a chilly Toronto BMO field.
Yep.
Sold out crowd. Great atmosphere, it seemed like.
Former side of the Grey Cup.
Yeah. Everyone always forgets, too, that like Toronto were the original atmosphere team. Yeah. They were the first club that really, like, everyone kind of sat up and went, like, man, their fans are great. And, you know, I don't know, they were kind of like the darling of the league until Seattle came along a couple of years later.
And
so,
Portland. And
then Portland and the rest of the Pacific Northwest and then Orlando. But Toronto kind of started that trend. So it was good to see them kind of get their due. It was their team that was actually playing in the final. And they were kind of the favored team going into it if you had to put a favor on one of them.
Yeah, the lumbersexuals were out in force.
Yeah.
Or actual guys that work in the logging community. I don't know. It's a Canada, so it could be either one of those.
I think Toronto's a little bit more metropolitan than that, probably.
That's true.
So
straight up lumbersexuals.
Yeah, most likely.
All right.
Very polite, though.
Absolutely. I saw a Vine. I don't know if you saw this. I think Fox Soccer or someone tweeted it out or put it on like Instagram of like a Toronto fan after the game standing at the bottom of the steps at one of like the concourses shaking hands and congratulating Seattle fans as they walk down the steps.
It's unreal.
Like, what?
Like, thanks for coming here.
Yeah.
And donating to our local economy. The most Canadian moment of the entire evening, I'm going to give Tana Weingartner credit for capturing this. There were some elements of things being tossed on the field. It makes me at least happy to know that Columbus fans aren't the only ones stupid enough to do this.
And that's just the final ones from Cleveland.
Most likely. But Toronto fans did throw things out, which is despicable. I'm not disputing that at all.
Did anyone throw sunglasses
we're not condoning
out and
that.
Landon came and...
I'm pretty sure that someone tossed some poutine out there.
Oh, man.
There was like a burst of fries.
I thought you were going to say like, yeah, someone threw a beaver pelt.
Oh, man, that would be incredible. The ultimate fur trade joke from Seattle to Toronto. But no, it was like poutine.
Yeah.
It was unreal. You wouldn't ever see that at another MLS stadium.
If I was the player there taking that corner, I would have stopped and like, you know.
Like Landon putting on the sunglasses.
Yeah, I would have picked it up.
Poutine.
If there was a fork was still sticking in
there. Didn't Danny Alves a few years ago pick up a banana and bite it that was thrown out on the field?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that happened as well. So
yeah.
Take control of the fans throwing out delicious food at you and actually eat some of that delicious food.
Branislav Ivanovic last year got pelted with a water bottle and he opened it up and took a drink, which is very dangerous.
He probably just thought someone just was tossing it to him.
Yeah. It was that. It was an away match, so I'm...
Who knows?
Liquid seemed clear.
Yeah. Maybe he was hoping it was not water.
So the game.
Yeah.
Happened.
How did you feel about the game?
It was all right. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting there going like, well, this game's really boring.
I
wasn't sitting there. I think the problem was what happened leading into this game was some amazing semifinals.
Yeah.
And I think that G'd up a lot of us. We're like, oh, this is going to be great.
It's going to be a fun one.
Toronto scored like a million goals in the semis.
I think we all we all wanted that. I mean, and who doesn't want a final like that unless it's your team that's on the pelting end of things. But I don't know. Maybe as a soccer fan, I'm prepared for nil-nils every once in a while.
Yeah.
I felt like the nil-nil scoreline really blew everyone's mind. And suddenly became an indictment of like MLS as a whole. And let's not go down that path too far because we got to save it for later in the program.
Okay, all right.
But seriously, like it wasn't that bad. And in fact, I thought Toronto for all their attacking prowess were really shut down by a really excellent job. Chad Marshall, long time big fan. We're both big fans of his from his long stint with the Crew. Yep. Both Marshall and Torres just did a fabulous job of shutting down that really potent Toronto attack. And as a defender, you know me, I'm going to value a performance like that. So
yeah.
I for one, enjoyed it. I thought it was a good final, if not the cleanest, and it may be a little sloppy, but I still enjoyed it.
Toronto went with a 3-5-2.
Kind of not all that daring. No. Maybe a little daring.
Well, I mean, I think... That's the tale of two different game plans.
Then. Mm-hmm.
One team was looking to score a lot of goals,
mm-hmm.
and the other team was looking to keep it a very close match.
Yeah. When you have a guy like Jordan Morris, who a lot of people feel is like an electric, pretty electric attacking player, it is a little bit disconcerting and a little unenjoyable to not see him unleashed a little bit. But Seattle had a game plan, and for years they've tried to play this flashy type of soccer, and they finally win it when they have to play pragmatically. So, might say a little bit about the game here in this country, and what it takes to actually pull things off sometimes.
All right, I know you want to save one of the main talking points for later, but let's get on to one thing that I think this final and the way and how it ended showed us why. It's okay to decide something as big as a final with PKs. Because I'm pretty sure everybody on that field was about ready to get stretchered off.
Yeah.
That team, even the guys that were like subbed in, like in the 80th minute, looked gassed.
Yeah. It
was 20 degrees outside.
If you've never played in the cold for extended periods of time, you just don't know how hard it is to do that.
It was 25 at kickoff. It had to be probably almost down into the teens by the time... the two extra time halves rolled around.
Not at all enjoyable. And you're right. I think we probably could have played for four more hours and someone probably would not have scored. So you almost have to have penalties.
The soccer was not going to get any more aggressive or pretty. It was just really going to completely just cycle downwards from there.
Yeah.
Guys were like not even able to run at that point.
I still hate penalties though.
Yeah.
That never will end or ever end.
Isn't just not a satisfying way to end it, or is
just
so cruel and just so
difficult? I feel
so
like
difficult.
I hate the.
So then remedy it.
Well, we asked this as a question of the week a little bit.
So okay.
Let's toss this in because I think there were some good replies out there from the followers. So I did ask in this, and this is also a little bit bleeding into the later conversation as well, but I wanted to know, how do you want MLS to decide its championship? It's not necessarily just like penalties itself, but you know, how would you want to see the championship settled? And some people did take it that way. So we'll use that as a way of actually approaching this. So we got the first response that came in. This was a great one, kind of the opposite of maybe doing penalties is how they used to do things in Europe and England in particular, and replay the final if it ends in a tie.
Oh. Ah.
It would never happen
in this day and age. No, there's a reason why it doesn't happen there either.
So that came from our buddy Eric M. from Louisville. Thanks, Eric, for sending that in. Sean at After Connery, he says not in freezing temperatures. So,
are we advocating for neutral site there?
It felt a little bit like a neutral site one there. And I do think the cold probably did have an impact on the game too and the ability for people
to attack. Didn't help. I don't know about you. I feel like I breathe better in the cold.
For a little bit.
Yeah. And then your body starts up.
Eventually you can't feel your toes or your fingertips. And even if you're wearing gloves and even if you got thicker socks on, that ultimately happens. And once you start losing the touch on your feet, it's like basically hitting things with clubs out there at that point. We got an answer from Scott W. Nichols. He says, the way it still does, American sports reward the team that doesn't succumb to pressure. Playoffs equals maximum pressure. So I think you could extend that even out into penalties a little bit.
Did anybody advocate for going like Liga MX style and doing a two-leg final?
Gage Magoto, I like the current format, but potential changes I would like to see is removing conferences so the best 12 get in, so maybe a single table to get that in. Supporter Shield winner goes straight to championship playoffs for second spot. It's kind of an interesting idea. Kind of having a playoff. It was almost like a cup, a Community Shield type match there.
Yeah.
The cup.
Okay.
The cup winner would play the Community Shield winner.
You mean at that point, then you almost like look to move to like a, you know, at what point do you just look into moving to like a format like NASL and Liga MX has, where you play two small seasons and then have those the champions and the two best teams
the outside of that, and
and then just have a 4-team playoff out of that.
Aren't we seeing a league that tried to do that here? Going under.
Well, I'm not going to blame the format on it.
Yeah.
What a financial issue.
That Supporter Shield suggestion, by the way, came from Boston Brazel. Thanks, Boston, for submitting that. So lots of different kind of approaches. We didn't see anyone kind of going with that two-leg approach. Man, I really hope we never go to the two-leg approach. But
I wonder about that one. I don't think it would happen. But I don't think it's the marketing TV disaster that some people think it would be. I think you could actually market that pretty well.
Yeah.
Talking about two events, two legs.
The worst case scenario there is one of the teams wins like 4-0 for the first leg.
And that's, I guess that's what you fear.
Yeah. But hey, all excellent ways of approaching the match. Seattle ultimately winning it. The aforementioned Torres getting the winner in the penalty spot kicks after Michael Bradley had a pretty poor penalty.
My buddy Gunnar Dave and I were texting each other during this match, and he was like, that PK was completely void of any confidence.
Yeah.
Like that was – and they even mentioned it. You know, I think John Strong, who I think did a fantastic job calling the match, even mentioned it as Bradley was walking up that – Bradley actually has a terrible track record in penalties.
Yeah, and he took one of the most crucial ones for his team and missed it. So, credit to Seattle. Their back was against the wall. They made a bunch of penalties that they had to make to not be eliminated after being the first to miss. So, hey, they finally have back-to-back. They finally have the trophy to answer their biggest rival's trophy from last year. So, MLS Cup stays in the Pacific Northwest.
Yay, Cascadia.
Yeah, it's the best.
I love when that happens.
Uh-huh.
Those guys are great. All right, let's whip around. There's obviously a lot of domestic news on the domestic news front.
Yep.
We'll start with, I guess, where we got to start, the NASL. That saga continues. We don't really know We still really don't feel like we have any clear answers than we did a week ago.
No.
I feel like we thought this was going to get resolved here, like, this past week.
Yeah.
Or at least there would be more resolution.
Let's be honest in saying it is kind of the topic in what's going on in American soccer right now.
I was thinking, like, it would almost be, like, perfect of NASL if they were going out to, as their final death blow, to announce the ceasing of operations of the league an hour before the MLS Cup started.
Oh, that would have been
just from a media standpoint, just swallow MLS what any Cup up. And what yeah. any mojo MLS had MLS Cup had going.
They did not do that.
Yeah.
And in fact, the league's future, as far as like certainty goes, is still far from certain.
Yeah. Well, we have no more answers than we did last week. We thought we were going to get some.
Lots of talk of teams coming over to USL.
Mm-hmm. We finally are getting some statements from a couple actual teams in NASL.
Yeah. Puerto Rico offering out a statement. They also did an interview with Nipun Chopra, who we had on just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we are starting to see, like you said, some teams that are kind of admitting, like, hey, we're at least considering a switch.
I was a little bummed out. He said he got an interview with their owner, and
mm-hmm.
turned out it wasn't Carmelo Anthony.
I was slightly
bummed out. Man, like, that'd have been sweet.
That'd have been really cool.
We don't know anything more as far as, well, I mean, nobody else has folded since we last talked.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any of that.
Nope.
Nobody has declared anything specific. We did have an NASL team that is now the North Carolina FC. Is that what they're named?
Yeah, the Carolina Railhawks rebranded.
Right. So they had a press conference announcing their intentions of MLS. I believe mm-hmm. like literally on the same day that Tampa did that.
Yep.
So you had that kind of thrown in there, which almost just feels like white noise at this point, just kind of in the middle of this giant mess here.
Yeah. Tampa dropping their stadium renderings for their MLS bid.
Yeah.
Expanding current Al Lang Stadium to have a secondary bowl that's kind of on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Still opening up to the marina that's right there, which is – the view is fantastic.
Did you go by there while you were down there?
I've been to a game there.
That's right. You were there.
The Open Cup this year. But definitely it's a really cool spot. It'd be amazing if they were able to build a stadium like that right there on the waterfront.
So it's really not a new stadium as much as it's a
expanded, renovated stadium. Yeah, okay. So it is a converted baseball field. They kind of have two L-shaped kind of portions of the stadium that you see there in the rendering. One side is actually the existing side. It's kind of the overhang over top of the baseball stands there before.
Kind of has that curve to it.
Behind home plate.
Right.
And then they kind of built this secondary larger one that they're hoping to expand with. So, it is kind of weird. Like, as we're sitting here debating the future of Division II and Division III status in this league, a potential league folding.
Get the announcement that U.S. Soccer's decision on anybody moving tier classifications was mm-hmm. being delayed.
Yeah.
So we do, I guess we know that much.
A week to 10 days is what they were saying or speculating.
So we're already a week into that. That was like last Tuesday they said that.
So hopefully by the time you listen to this, we'll know an answer. Of course, we won't be talking about it on this week's show. So lots of news, lots still to be settled.
It was announced today that the Cosmos owe $50,000 to their landlord for their offices.
Ooh.
Good luck finding said $50,000.
Hmm.
Good luck with that. You and that guy that allegedly showed up to the Rio OKC offices looking for his advertising money.
Yeah, you both get your check in the mail the same day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, it will be an interesting few weeks to come here in American soccer circles. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more clarity by the time we talk to you guys next.
One thing that is happening tomorrow, and that is the MLS expansion draft.
That's right.
Happening on Tuesday, that when this podcast comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know who gets drafted, but we do have a little bit of an idea of the players available.
That's right. So a couple marquee names that they're throwing out there, and we debated this earlier before we started recording, like, are these actually marquee anymore? Jermaine Jones was on that list. DeMarcus Beasley was on this list.
Free agent. That's what I was confused about.
Yeah, I don't.
And yet, it wasn't on that list designating that he could that he was.
He's been known to stretch the truth a time or two.
Is it him stretching the truth or him just not understanding the words that comes out of his agent's mouth fully when he talks to him?
We can meet halfway there, I think. Okay. I think both would probably be pretty like comfortable.
The agent's telling him one thing and he's just hearing another thing.
Yeah. You know, a look around the league, there are some, you know, fairly familiar names in there. Sebastian Latou's in there.
How old is he?
Old. Marco Papa. We're literally talking
also,
about.
Also old. Yeah.
Connor Doyle, formerly of Premier League fame.
Yeah.
That's these are just players from Colorado, by the way.
That was the guy that was playing for Wolves, right? We talked about him a week ago.
Yeah. A little bit closer to home. With the Columbus Crew, longtime goalkeeper Steve Clark, a guy they've said they're most likely not going to bring back anyway. He's on the list.
Which is kind of, so then you don't have to get, Minnesota, if they wanted him, don't actually have to waste a draft spot on him because they know that he's going to be available after the draft anyways.
Yeah, it's true.
His crew said that they're not going to retain him.
Francis, one of their great outside backs, he's been left unprotected. A guy like Sorrow, one of their center backs, also left unprotected. So that's a couple odd picks in there.
Saeed, Cedric Mwati. I was surprised to see both of those two.
Yeah.
Two guys that are mainstays in that starting 11.
Our buddy Chris Rolfe left unprotected.
Yeah.
For DC United. That's just halfway down the league. We're not even all the way through. But they're just a lot of big names. Dominic Oduro for Montreal. Sean Wright Phillips.
How
I don't know
old
if you're feeling up for one of the Wright Phillips brothers
like
that doesn't
old
score
are these
goals. yeah, I mean, that's what you're seeing a lot of these type of players. The Crew ones were a little surprising, but I mean, you look down and there are some absolutely big names.
Well, that's
in
the only old dude on the Crew they traded the day before this list came out.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Clint Irwin, Toronto's starting goalkeeper in the MLS Cup final, he was left unprotected.
I'd go get that guy.
Well, I mean, you're not going to see Atlanta going there, obviously.
Right, Minnesota needs, everything.
Yeah.
They only have, I think, three defenders currently signed to MLS contracts.
And if I'm Minnesota, Clint Irwin seems like a pretty darn good option.
Yeah, that sounds like a great
as an expansion team. So they're just some really, really big ones out there. It will be interesting to see who gets picked up and if either team really makes very big moves. But like you said, I think Minnesota's desperately in need of players at this point.
It looks like this is where they might. I mean, I think Atlanta's just looking for a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
I feel like Minnesota sees this as a little bit more of like actual like
roster building.
Like starting 11 building.
Yeah. And we saw, you know, with New York City FC, this is not an easy process to piece together a team from this. If you're overly relying on those type of players, you're not necessarily going to do all that well.
Well, we mentioned Minnesota, but we talked about Atlanta. They're not needing Kiever because they're wheeling and dealing. They've made a lot of moves here in the past 48 hours.
Yeah, they traded to get another Crew player. Michael Parkhurst is joining them in Atlanta next year.
It's a solid veteran to have on that back line.
Sean Johnson, the Chicago Fire goalkeeper, was temporarily an Atlanta player.
Georgia native, going to play for his local guy. No.
Psych. Nope, we're trading you to New York City FC. Basically so that they can sign Brad Guzan, who's likely to come over in the January transfer window.
Who at first you thought, well, that makes sense.
For him to go to Chicago.
Yeah. John Johnson goes to his hometown and goes to Georgia and Brad Guzan comes to Chicago where he's from. No,
that's not
Atlanta
not at
looks
all.
To be getting Guzan. Sean Johnson's going to hang out with your buddy Akoli up in New York.
Yeah, that's right. So, interesting, by the time you listen to this, the expansion draft will have most likely happened.
If you're unfamiliar with how this works, I'll run this down, I guess, real quick.
Yeah.
So, they're each going to get 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Once they pick somebody off a team, then that team is removed from the situation.
Yeah, you can't have any more than one player picked away from you.
So only 10 teams in the league are going to lose players.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't too hateful.
No, that's not terrible.
Less than half at this point. So
yeah.
So hopefully your favorite MLS team will go without losing one of your favorite players. And if you're a fan of these new teams, hopefully you guys get people you really want.
I think Minnesota is just looking for warm bodies at this point.
Yeah. So let's quickly. I said that we needed to hold off on this topic.
Okay. Well, hold on. I did have one extra piece of domestic news.
Okay.
And this came out today, and it's pretty big. And you're a Mr. USL guy, so I need you to answer this for me.
Okay.
Is Joe Cole the biggest name to play in USL? Because he has just re-upped with Tampa.
Yeah.
He will be playing in USL this season.
Indisputably the biggest name in USL. Absolutely the marquee player in the league.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh my goodness.
I mean, who's not – tell me you're not going to try to work that Tampa game.
That's definitely happening.
Yeah. So it is a big deal for the league. Obviously, he'll draw some extra eyes to the competition. Will be fun to hopefully see him up here in Cincinnati this summer. So.
Sweet. All right, now I'm moving on.
Okay. So we have this segment, This Week in American Soccer, Conspiracy Theories. Mm-hmm. This week's soup du jour, for sure, was bagging on MLS because a team that finished around 500 and that failed to get a shot on target during the final actually was a Crown League champion. And then using that as a way to indict an entire league.
That's what I didn't get the indict the entire league. I did, however, on the opposite, enjoy the parallels to the U.S. election of not having a shot on goal and winning the MLS Cup is like losing the popular vote and winning the electoral college. That's
a very great analogy.
Jill Stein is going to get money together and get a recount on MLS Cup.
Hopefully she does. But seriously, are we really going to bag on a league because something like that happens? Has everyone forgot what this sport is capable of producing every once in a while?
Apparently not. Apparently they didn't.
Nil-nils?
Yeah.
Don't these happen fairly regularly in finals, it feels like, recently? This is
soccer. Did they not watch the World Cup?
Yeah, right.
That was nil-nil until, that went into extras?
Yeah. So, I mean... I literally don't get how this is something that anyone can realistically be complaining about. You cannot indict an entire league on one game's performance.
Yeah, not I just only don't that, get
when,
the, line thinking
when the league, the round before, we saw three excellent games. So come on, this is a ridiculous complaint. I tweeted this comparison out afterward, and it was that's like saying. In the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness is crap because a so-so team was let in by the committee and then they went and upset a bunch of good teams.
Yes.
By playing good defense.
Because people totally hate when that happens.
Yeah. March Madness. Yeah. I know. It's the worst.
I get really pissed off.
I hate when upsets happen.
Literally the worst thing about that or, the FA Cup or anything like that is when there's – crazy upsets.
Yeah.
And teams that shouldn't be making runs.
Oh, let's think about the year where Wigan were absolutely terrible.
Uh-huh.
And they somehow crapped their way all the way to an FA Cup trophy.
Yeah, while getting relegated.
Oh, yeah. Maybe both of those competitions are crap as well, then.
Well, some people in England would agree with that statement.
Well, point being, you can't be all jazzed about the magic of the cup. You can't love March Madness and all the upsets that it brings. You can't get upset when sometimes the least attractive way of winning is what ultimately brings someone a recognizable title.
But isn't this what we always get? We always get reactionary, this happened this one time. I'm mad about it. I want change.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if it was a nice, game and it was heavy scoring and it was, fun back and forth, you're still going to get people complaining, oh, Toronto, those conditions, it was way too cold. They need to go neutral.
Yeah, they shouldn't have
ever
done
that.
We
can't be doing this.
Never mind that 36,000 people showed up for the game.
And never mind the fact that on a given year, the game could, MLS Cup final could be in, Dallas, Texas or Orlando.
Yeah.
Or now Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Places where it's not going to be, two below
right.
when the game starts. I mean, they can't decide that. I mean, Major League Baseball gets this sometimes. This World Series, people going, it's too cold. It's too cold. We got to tweak it. We can't have baseball. It's not supposed to be played in this kind of weather. Well, that's just the two teams that were in it.
Yeah.
It could have been the Dodgers.
That's right.
And then we're out in L.A.
Yeah, it just proves to show that literally anyone's going to find the way to complain about it if they can, just because they were going to complain about it.
So there's always going to be a complaint.
Yeah.
Now we have the complaint of, this going Jose Mourinho, this is not a legitimate result.
Yeah, it's not actually a cup final, so sorry that you like that. All right, let's get into winners and wankers.
My winner, Arlo White.
Arlo White.
He has had – someone pointed this out on Twitter – last night. He has had an amazing 2016. He is a Leicester City fan.
That's right.
He is a Chicago Cubs fan because when he first moved, when he first traveled to the States as a young boy, he had family in Chicago. And he was just years ago the play-by-play man for the Seattle Sounders. So if you were in a team that was affiliated with his life, your 2016 probably went pretty well.
Yeah. Get on board. Arlo, do you want to be an FC Cincinnati fan?
Yeah.
Can we get you in here?
There you go.
Get him a Dynamo scarf.
There we go. I'll send it out.
Right now. My winner this week, I don't know if you heard about all the bombings that have been happening in Turkey.
Yeah, Beşiktaş.
Yeah, Beşiktaş aimed at as a target of the bombings, mostly happening in the kind of travel period around the game itself. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was really cool was Galatasaray's Yazin Aztekin scored a goal this weekend and then went and hugged a couple of the police officers that were there in the stadium. And it was kind of like a really cool, picture-worthy moment, of course. But I thought it was really neat to see that kind of humility. And I love when players recognize that something socially needs to be done when they're actually out playing a game. So enjoyed that moment.
You're a wanker.
My wanker.
What did you not enjoy?
What I did not enjoy, I did a little – I'm known to do some promotion and relegation crowd trolling. This week I chose a new UPSL team, an expansion. If you're not familiar with the UPSL, that's
yes,
the
United, press
United Premier Soccer League. It is the, they claim fourth division, but probably a fifth division league.
Yeah, more or less. Fourth division at itself is kind of a murky thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But mainly based out west, a couple different areas. But they admitted a new team in their Colorado conference, which is weird in its own right, called El Azul Denver. And they announced their home kits for this season.
What is the Azul doing?
They are wearing Azul. They are wearing blue, as you would hope for a team like that. They chose sky blue. And the sky blue kits they chose were Manchester City kits.
What do you mean?
Like, with Manchester City's patch on the shorts and the jersey.
But Azul?
Well, I mean, Azul is blue.
Does it have the Etihad logo
across the chest? I'm not sure of that specifically.
You know, I'm pretty sure I got the press release on this because I get all their press releases. I have to go back and look at this.
But what's even better is they're not even Nike. They're knockoffs.
Oh, awesome.
Now, I did a little research.
So they went on eBay.
This is like it's a Latino team. It says in their bio on their Twitter profile, it is a Latino team based out of Denver.
If you couldn't get that from the fact that it's called El Azul.
Yeah, that wasn't enough of a giveaway. If you've never had a Mexican team that's played in your league, do know that they almost all exclusively wear knockoff replica kits. Like every single one. You'll see a bunch of like Club America jerseys or maybe Chivas jerseys. This is really commonplace. Maybe you'll see a Real Madrid. This time, it was Manchester City. This is a team playing in a league that's legitimately trying to like push for promotion and relegation. A team playing in knockoff kits in an era where there are 8 billion performance apparel companies out there just dying to sponsor
your
team.
It's probably like 3 just in Colorado.
Yeah. Like they totally could have got kits for free. Instead, they publicly went out with wearing Manchester City knockoff kits in their debut season.
Yeah, that is a Latin American thing.
Yeah,
because one of the guys plays for the Dynamo,
mm-hmm.
Chris Montoya.
Yeah,
he always at practice was wearing like either like a knockoff Cruz Azul jersey or I think he had a. Like a City or a Barcelona jersey or something.
Yeah, it is pretty common. But, you know, I'm sorry, for a team that's having some sort of professional aspirations, playing in a league that's pushing for that, you know, you could have actually gotten a legit, like, custom jersey that would have been just yours and not an actual knockoff. So that's my wanker. How about yours?
My wanker would be ESPN FC.
Ooh.
I got, hey, congratulations to them. They, you know, ESPN just got Julie Stewart Binks.
Big win.
Great sideline reporter that was working for Fox. Just brought her over to do sideline stuff for MLS. Awesome. Great. Hey, how about that? ESPN FZ sent me a push notification today asking if I wanted to read an article about which soccer stars were rogue.
Ooh.
You know what that means?
Sponsored content.
Sponsored content where they had these ridiculous pictures of Star Wars characters with photoshopped faces of random soccer stars, mm-hmm. and then like this little like, hey, and this is how this guy is just like that character that you've never heard of from this movie that's not out yet.
I also think that they had a spoiler in one of the write-ups. I'm not a huge Star Wars person.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know that Han Solo was killed at any point.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
Yeah, that was literally written in there. So if I just ruined things for you, I'm sorry. I'm assuming if you're a big Star Wars person, you probably already knew that. But
guys, this movie's been out for almost a year now.
Yeah.
Han Solo wears
it. To be fair, the artwork on this was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm not knocking the artwork.
Still cheesy.
It's just so lame.
Yeah.
Just so lame.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, was it bad? I wanted to smash my phone when I got that notification. I was like, what is this?
Probably a wise choice not to, but I know the agony. So dumb. That brings us to the end of this week's pod. As always, if you have questions, comments, things you want us to talk about, please shoot us an email, contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. You can also find us on Twitter. Jeremy is at Jeremy Lance.
Uh-huh.
I'm at wrongsideofpond.
Hey, if you haven't got a chance to, I know some of you guys listened to it the last time we asked you to, go leave us a review on whatever device, whatever application you use to listen to us.
Yeah.
Leave a review.
Yeah.
Hopefully a good one.
That would be helpful. We're getting people like on that people actually know these days.
So yeah, leave those reviews. That kind of helps as far as just the algorithm of when people search for soccer podcasts.
They want to find us.
It'll be bumped higher up on those searches if we have more reviews.
Yeah. So do that.
Yeah. Help us out.
It would be helpful. And we'll keep bringing people for you to listen to that are more knowledgeable than us, at least from time to time.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right, folks.
See you.
Bye.